Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. A very happy Wednesday to you. Wondering if you've heard this phrase. It's been tossed around a lot lately. Wired and tired. Have you felt wired and tired? And that's a sure sign that you've been running on empty for too long. So you're so exhausted, but you're wired, so you don't get full rest, yet you're tired, so you don't really show up fully in your relationships and the work that God has for you to do. Do you know that there's supposed to be a rhythm in life? There's supposed to be an ebb to our flow, a rest to our running? And this is why I have Shelley Miller on the show today to talk about her book, Rhythms of Rest, Finding the Spirit of Sabbath in a Busy World, published by our good friends, Bethany House Publishers. We will get her on in just a moment. A couple quick announcements. You're going to hear about it a lot because we're so excited about it. If you've got a dream to be published, we have got a conference for you. I am telling you what, we are bringing in A-list faculty, really the best of the best, experts in the field, editors, agents, and writers who are, you know, across the gamut, historical fiction, Bible studies, novels. I'm telling you what, if you've got a dream to be published, and maybe you want to go the route of maybe writing articles, we've covered that as well. We invite you to the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. It's one day only. We've made it very affordable, $150 for the day, a full day that could very well launch you into your career. I'm telling you what, I want you to join us. It's going to be great. You want to check out more information at the NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com website. Just check it out. Spend some time there. Look at the faculty, some of the breakout sessions. Liz Curtis Higgs will be our keynote. We're going to have some amazing worship. The reason I'm telling you about this now is because the first 350 of you to register are guaranteed a face-to-face appointment with a faculty member of your choice. I pray that you don't let fear stand in the way. If you've even got just kind of a niggling desire, like a deep inside, I'm kind of wondering if this is something I should try, this is where you find out if this is something you're called to do. When you walk away from a writer's conference, usually it's, you know, that's probably not for me, or I can't not do this. I have to do this. Check it out, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Shelley Miller is a veteran ministry leader and leads the Sabbath Society. I love that, an online community of people who want to make rest a priority. Her writing's been featured in publications internationally. She and her husband recently moved from the U.S. to London, where they resource church planting efforts. I love that, too. Shelley, welcome to the program, and so nice to meet you.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Shelley, we love to start our conversations talking scripture, and you chose one of my go-to passages, Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Love, love, love that one. Talk about that passage and what it means to you.
Oh, gosh. You know, over the years, I've had different passages that have stood out to me, as I'm sure you've had the same during seasons of life. And this one, "Be still and know that I am God," is really similar to really how I found Sabbath as well. There's so much packed into so few words that we often pass over. And there's just in our world right now, we're in such a state of unrest. Everywhere you go around the world, people are in a lot of pain. And instead of, and we want to do something, don't we, to make it all feel better, whether it's scroll through Facebook to numb our emotions or to just do something to make ourselves and the world feel better. And it's sort of the opposite. Jesus says to do the opposite of what our human nature wants to do, and that is to be still. And the way that we know God is not in doing more. It's actually in being still. And I think it's just being still is ultimately a great act of trust and also of humility.
Yeah.
It's It's hard. It's hard to do.
Indeed. I mean, our rat race culture just compels us onward at an unsustainable pace. I'd love to know, just in your own story, Shelley, when it you know, kind of gripped you and occurred to you, this has to be a part of my rhythm of my life. It's not just, not even just a date I put on the calendar. It's a mindset that I need to embrace. When did that grab hold of you?
Yeah. Well, really and truly, it happened during a season of my life. I found sort of Sabbath rest in a way that I didn't expect. I was tired, but not in the way that you would think. I was tired of being lonely. And it was on a simple prayer walk at dusk right after Christmas. You know, I was, here we are in that season of you're just getting ready to put everything away from Christmas. The guests have left. You have that sort of, oh, sadness that you feel, you know, when the joy of a celebratory season is over. And I just left it all and took a prayer walk, and I just was crying out to the Lord and said, you know, God, I feel like I know that you want us to feel the way that we feel, that sense of belonging and being known, that joy of celebration that we feel over a holiday or when we're away on a vacation, just more than like 1 or 2 weeks out of the year. I believe that you want us to really feel that sense of belonging, you know, more than just a few days on the calendar. And oddly, I felt impressed that I heard the word Sabbath as an answer to my longing and to my questions. And I knew it was God because I wasn't thinking about Sabbath. Yes. It was so, you know, an out of the ordinary sort of conversation that I was having with God. And I began to investigate, and that's sort of how I found it in my own, you know, sense of longing and loneliness.
Well, what were your first steps then, Shelley, when you got that impression that God was inviting you to a deeper rest? What were your first steps?
My first steps were to really evaluate. Well, I started thinking in my mind, you know, well, what is Sabbath? Well, Sabbath really is sort of a day that God intended for us to set apart. And sometimes I associate, you know, it says remember the Sabbath and keep the day holy. And sometimes when we think of holy, we think of perfectionism or following a set of rules. And I began to sort of investigate, what does that really mean? Set apart doesn't mean jumping through spiritual hoops. It means making a day different. Almost like we make a date different with our spouse or with a girlfriend. You know, we really plan ahead. We think about sort of what that person loves to do. We want to engage with them with eye contact and do something that they really, that we know will, you know, make them happy and enjoy. And so I began to think about what that really means, to set time as apart, to make time different. And then I got the idea on that same prayer walk of inviting people to join me in just practicing Sabbath, like in the same way that we make New Year's resolutions to diet or exercise or, you know, begin to read the Bible more. Anytime we do any kind of discipline like that that's new for us, when we invite someone to join us, it makes it sometimes more successful, easier, you know, when you have an empathetic shoulder along in that. And the Sabbath Society was born through that idea.
So you basically were just looking for some like-minded travelers saying, will you join me in being mindful of the Sabbath? So they would do it in their way, you would do it in your way, and you would kind of connect with each other and reflect on your experience?
Exactly. So I wasn't approaching it as though I had this, you know, theological search or even so much, you know, a pilgrimage. It was more of just investigating and trying different things, researching and sharing what I'd learned with people through a simple email every Friday morning. And then I would invite response from people. I had about 40 people sign up the first week, and now we're several thousand people. And it's just encouragement. I share resources that I find on the web, recipes that help people prepare for Sabbath, because preparation is such a big part of making rest realistic and doable. And my book, Rhythms of Rest, is really stories, my story, but it's also the stories of many of those people that joined me that said, I'm all in. I want to make rest a realistic part of my life and not just miraculous.
Yeah. I'm going to join the Sabbath Society. Are there tryouts or can I just sign up?
You can absolutely sign up.
Very good.
And you know, there's nothing required. I said right off the bat, you know, what is required of you? Absolutely nothing. All you have to do, you can choose to read my email or not. You can choose to respond to what I say or not. My prayer is just that it will be an encouragement to you and to others to keep persevering and making rest a part of a rhythm of life. And
very
it does
good.
Take perseverance.
Yep. I mean, it does. It takes intention to weave rest in, to make time and space for the Sabbath. But that's why I do think, too, it's such an act of faith, as you say. Tell me this, and if you need to carry this answer on to the other side of the break, we'll probably go to break here in a couple minutes. You say that guilt is one of the main roadblocks for making Sabbath a reality. And you think about that. We always joke that guilt is the gift that keeps on giving. But truly, it's not from God. And yet, when we let something that's not from God motivate us to do something opposite of what God calls us to, we got to stop and look at that. So say a word, if you would, about guilt.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so much of our identity is in what we do and what we accomplish. And so we often, I used to say all the time, I'll rest when I get everything done. And so we feel like there has to be this accomplishment, you know, this sort of clean white space, this full stop. But when God was creating and he created the seventh day from the very beginning, it was on his heart, it wasn't a full stop. He wasn't finished creating. His imagination is immense. He's creating continuously. And so for us to have that as sort of a standard, you know, I'll rest when I get everything done, isn't really God-given. It's something that we've put on ourselves. And so I think there's a lot of guilt we associate with, our identity is so tied into productivity and what we do. And so if we feel we only allow ourselves permission, you know, when we get to that place, then rest is always elusive. Mm. It never happens.
Wow. Talking to Shelley Miller about her book, Rhythms of Rest, Finding the Spirit of Sabbath in a Busy World. We've got three copies. If you feel yourself just slowing down your breathing as you're listening to Shelley talk about this, I would love to get you a copy of this book. Enter the drawing this way. You probably know the drill. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. That's Susie with an S. And I need your mailing address. And put Rhythms of Rest somewhere in that email. And your name will go in a drawing three if you get a copy. When we come back, we're going to identify a few more other obstacles that keep us from rest. I mean, when you call it what it is, you start to see how the enemy is throwing you roadblocks because he doesn't want you to rest. Because we're going to also talk about this, what happens when you do rest. There's a lot of fruit that comes out of it. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
God is my rock and strength. Surely he lights my way.
Telling you, that's one of the best Peace Be Still songs I know. That's Mark Allen and Emmanuel Live. We get Mark in here about every other month with his guitar. It's an amazing, amazing song. If you need, in fact, I just challenge you. This is how I start my mornings. With my prayer time is I put a song like that on and just sit back, take some deep breaths, and just consider what God might have to say to me today. And, you know, those moments of rest are just huge. And we're talking about Sabbath rest, rhythms of rest today with Shelley Miller. Title of her book is Rhythms of Rest, Finding the Spirit of Sabbath in a Busy World. And Shelley, before the break, we were talking about how guilt is such a common roadblock to rest. And if we stop and look at it, guilt is not from God. And so you can imagine the enemy so is throwing roadblocks to keep us from rest. Let's start with this. What happens if we do rest? I mean, what is the benefit and the fruit of someone who's well rested and has acquired a rhythm of rest with the Sabbath?
Oh my goodness, where do I begin? Well, I begin in Rhythms of Rest with the story of a friend of mine who began to keep the Sabbath, and she's a ministry clergy wife like me with two small children, very busy, lots on her plate, and Her husband over dinner said to her one evening, he said, "Gosh, what's going on with you? I mean, you just seem, you know, so much happier." And she said, "Yeah, I like myself more. I'm practicing the Sabbath." And so that was sort of an outcome for her of as she was finding rhythms of rest in her own life. She was finding a sense of peace and purpose that was on the inside, but also showing on the outside to the people around her, the people that she loves the most. And so I think there's all kinds of benefits. From people will tell you that have severe health problems and have gone to the doctor after practicing a rhythm of rest, and the doctor saying, "What in the world are you doing? Whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because there's a difference, you know, in the tests that we're running in your blood work and, you know, all your vital signs. You know, what are you doing?" I'm finding a rhythm of rest. We'll keep doing it. Things like marriages being restored, because you begin to, when you're still and you're quiet and you find time to really, what I always say, have eye contact with God, you begin to see the world through God's eyes, through His heart. And you begin to see even the world, the chaos, the things that are going around all around us right now, the political climate. We need to see the heart of God more than we need to be creating processes and procedures and projecting and producing. We need to really know what God's saying. And the way to do that is really to be still and to rest and to listen and to trust that He holds our lives in His hands. And the only way we know what our purpose is to wait on Him, to listen, and to allow Him, you know, to bring that sense of, that real true sense of inner peace that only comes through abiding in Christ.
Boy, that's so good, Shelley. So back to the roadblocks. We've identified guilt. Are there any other common roadblocks that just keep people from practicing and participating in Sabbath rest?
Well, I think preparation is really key for everybody. And I think most of us feel like there's going to be some magical day that it all takes place and happens. You know, everything aligns, the stars align, and all of a sudden you have this, everything finished, and you just have all this 24-hour space or this space of time where you can rest and just do whatever you want. And I think that rest, and the way we envision it is often idealistic, and so our idealistic perceptions about Sabbath keep us from actually progressing and finding a rhythm of rest. And I think it just takes baby steps. It takes being intentional about it, setting aside time, and 24 hours on a Sunday isn't realistic for everybody. Sometimes Sunday is the busiest day of the week, especially for people that are active and volunteering in church or ministry. Ministry workers really struggle the most with finding time to rest because they're on 24/7. And so for, rest looks unique for each of us. You know, in the same way that we have a certain style to our homes, the way we decorate, the way we dress, the way we the things that we really enjoy doing as hobbies. Well, rest is unique to each of us in the same way. And so we each have to find that unique way that we rest and that unique way that we abide with Christ and have conversation with Him that looks different from our neighbor or even our family members.
So it may be on a different day. It might be doing different activities because what brings you rest may be different from what brings me rest, right?
Right, right. And, you know, Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so I get asked a lot from people, you know, what do you do? You know, what's right and wrong to do on Sabbath? And my answer is always, well, what makes you feel easy and light? What is easy to you and makes you feel light?
Wow.
So, you know, when a lot of times I like to garden in the spring and the summer, not maybe right now, but in the winter when it's so cold. But I sometimes just find it therapeutic to go out to my garden and weed and, you know, maybe plant a few new plants in my garden. But to my husband, that does not sound restful to him at all. That sounds like work. You know, some people paddleboarding on a quiet river sounds really relaxing and restorative, but for other people sounds like just sore muscles. So the way we rest is really unique to each of us, and finding that window of time that suits your life, your season of life, is really key.
One of my favorite things to do on a Sabbath in the summer, when it's really boiling hot out, living in the Midwest, I don't get this very often, but 90 degree weather, getting on my bike, riding 25 miles in the muggy heat with worship music on is like a slice of heaven for me. I mean, I end restful, I'm worn out, but in the best way. I mean, I feel so close to God when I'm hauling down path, you know, trails, and just listening to music and riding hard. I can't even explain it to you, but that's what I love, is that He made me that way, and that's just what I love. And
it isn't.
It'd be torture for somebody else, I'm sure, you know.
Right, exactly. I live in London, and London is this endless city of inspiration. And so I really enjoy just taking walks in different parts of the city and taking pictures. And I just find such a sense of fulfillment. And it's just replenishes my soul to be walking around the city and just, you know, being out in the world.
We've got about a minute and a half before we take our bottom of the hour break, Shelley. So, again, you can carry this over to the other side. But I like the idea of rhythms of rest. Because, you know, I was a former fitness person in fitness industry for a number of years. And the whole idea of, it's almost like you can't eat just once and you can't just work out once and see, you know, results that are long term. It's a steady application. It's the art of steady application. And then there's this accumulative effect. So say a word, if you would, about this idea of establishing a rhythm, because if you really want the benefit of rest, there's got to be, to have an accumulative effect, there's got to be a steady art to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll start with routine, and then maybe we can go to rhythm after the break. But routine, the difference between a routine and a rhythm is this. A routine is something we do. It's predictable, like brushing our teeth, taking a shower. We take pills at a certain day, a certain time. There are sort of consequences when we don't follow the routine, right? So we miss pills. There's consequences to our health. You know, we forget to take the trash out, and we've got a lot of trash the next day. But with rhythms, they're more free-flowing, so they make room for interruptions. It doesn't mean you failed. It means that you reevaluate and you continue that rhythm in the way that suits you, kind of like when you think of dancers and free-flowing. You know, the way that they express themselves isn't going to be necessarily detrimental. You know, if they misstep, nobody in the audience is going to know it. If it's just a dancer up there, you know, expressing the art of who they are. It's the same with a rhythm of rest. If we have a misstep or an interruption or something happens that we don't plan on, it means that we just the next week or the following day, we find another time to
reevaluate. Got to pause here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the whole rhythm behind the rest. Don't go away. Back in a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great conversation about just what that song is singing, rest. We're talking about the rhythms of rest. Shelley Miller wrote that book. Subtitle is Finding the Spirit of Sabbath in a Busy World. And God, this is not something He wants from you. It's something He wants for you. He wants to replenish you. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, come away and rest a while. And this is the place where we hear His voice, where our heart starts to beat in rhythm with His, where He puts us right, where we're thinking wrong. This is such an important aspect of our lives. We've got 3 copies of Shelley's book. We'd love to get a copy into your hands. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. So, Shelley, before the break, you were talking about how it's so unique to each of us and that Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So how you determine what rest looks like for you is is this easy? Does this feel light? I mean, is this a replenishing thing for you? Well, one of our listeners asked, can I watch sports? I feel guilty watching sports, but I enjoy watching sports. What do you say about that?
Oh, goodness. I would say, why do you feel guilty about watching sports? I think God creates us all with, sort of bents towards things that we love. Mm-hmm. Hobbies that we like. We like different kinds of music. And so I think that when we are enjoying the way that God created us, we are, in a sense, glorifying God. And so I think if we're doing something that doesn't compromise who he is and who he created us to be, and we're bringing him in the room with us, we're aware of his presence with us in rest. We're aware of his presence in the people that are around us, then we're glorifying him in our rest, and it can be restful to watch sports.
Absolutely. Appreciate that so much. Thanks for sharing that. So before the break, you were also talking about the difference between routine and rhythm. So routine has this kind of hard, fast rule. Rhythm, you say, is more of kind of paying attention to the flow of things and making adjustments where necessary. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because guess what? We're going to have interruptions. It's a given with life. I think it's important to have intentions for rest, because rest will never happen unless we're intentional mm-hmm. about it. I think preparation is really key, so thinking ahead about what rest is going to look like for you. So rest your Sabbath day being the focal point of your week instead of being the thing you're walking away from. It's actually the goal. You want to arrive at a restful place. And,
That's awesome. Well, one day your husband spontaneously asked your boys this really great question. How would you define belonging and fitting in? To which your very wise son replied, belonging is being accepted for who you are. Fitting in is changing who you are to be accepted. I think that might be a mind bender for someone, so I'm going to say it again a little bit slower so you hear this. This is what Shelley Miller's son said. Belonging is being accepted for who you are. Fitting in is changing who you are to be accepted. I want you to address these perspectives, Shelley, and what they have to do. Tie them to Sabbath rest, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, getting back to how I found Sabbath initially, I was living in a small coastal community in the South, a place that was beautiful, a resort community, and I had every reason to be happy. My kids were doing well academically. They were very involved in youth group, making friends. We were seeing a lot of fruit in our ministry. And no one would have known that I was walking around with this deep sense of loneliness, of sort of just feeling like I didn't fit in. And I believe now, looking back at the time, I didn't connect the dots, but now I see that God's answer to me on that simple prayer walk of reaching out to him and asking for, wanting to be known and how do I belong, that Sabbath, that answer was his way of saying, you already belong. Sabbath, when we rest in him, what we learn is, while we're trying to fit in to what the world dictates through our work, through whatever it is that we're doing to find a sense of fulfillment and identity, God says in rest, you already belong. Hmm. And I think as we rest in him, as we really seek his face, as we become intimately acquainted with the God who created us, we find out who we are and we realize that we already belong. We've been trying to fit in all along.
And it really almost helps us get comfortable in our own skin and helps us to love our own story. And it is a reset for us again and again. I think that's so powerful. Here's a great excerpt from the book I'd love for you to comment on, Shelley. You write, busyness can be a sign that trust is faltering and that fear of scarcity is taking over. And I want you to hear this again, friend. Busyness can be a sign that trust is faltering and that fear of scarcity is taking over. Fear that there won't be enough time to get everything done if we take a day off to rest. But if we trust God with our time, He is faithful to provide what we need. It might even be maybe a fear that we won't get everything done, but it might be a fear that I have to do it myself because I don't want to be left empty-handed. But either way, scarcity, that fear of scarcity, speak to that whole idea. And again, that's just an enemy fear when you think about the invitation from God.
Right, absolutely. Well, this really hit me one day when I was doing the dishes, of all things. I do some of my best thinking when I'm unloading the dishwasher. Mm. And my husband and I were felt a Macedonian call to London. We were living in this coastal community and making more money than we'd ever made in our lives. And we had decided to leave a job before we knew where God was taking us next. It was the first time in 26 years of ministry and marriage together that we actually felt called to leave something before we knew where we were going. Hmm. And we had that all planned out in our minds, what that was going to, how that was going to actually play out. And the way, what God had in mind ended up being a lot different. And our paycheck ended in August, and we didn't arrive in London until March. We thought we would be here in September. And yeah, and our son was out of school for 9 months waiting to get here. So he missed most of his junior year of high school. And the uncertainty almost ate me alive. And I realized I wanted certainty in my life more than I wanted God's will, God's presence with me. And it was one of those horrible realizations in my life. And when things weren't progressing, when our timeline wasn't being fulfilled in the way that we needed and thought it needed to be fulfilled, it caused this great fear and this great anxiousness, anxiety within me. And I realized the fear of uncertainty, the fear of not having enough, was just threatening to overtake me. And it was at that moment when I had a dish towel in my hands that I realized I'd made certainty an idol. I cared more about the comfort and peace that I needed inside my heart than I was prepared to wait on God and trust Him for the outcome. And so it was really then that I just really surrendered. And it wasn't easy, but I realized that I wasn't trusting God. I was saying that I was trusting Him. I was singing in church that I was trusting Him. I knew, all the Bible verses I needed to know to back it up. But my heart was telling me through the anxiety that I wasn't really trusting Him to the level He was needing me to trust Him. And so that's when rest became sort of this practice of resting in God became sort of a way to build my faith and increase and deepen my trust in the God who holds our lives, the universe, in our hands, the God that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that knows what we think before we're going to think it, knew the moment we came into the world and the moment we're going to leave the world, and He's more than capable of providing a paycheck and providing a home and providing a future for my son. And so that was a real awakening for me.
Shelley, I feel like you're talking to somebody right now whose maybe heart's pitter-pattering because they realize that they've made certainty an idol. And as you know, there's no rest in idols. So when we have idols, they're also they're dead on one hand, but they're parasites on another because they're draining life from us. And to think that we give energy to something that we're hoping will sustain us and then you identify it, it's so scary that leap of faith to go, I'm smashing this thing. And I'm going to let things be uncertain and know that you are enough. I mean, how long did it take you to come to a place of peace? Did the surrender transaction happen kind of simultaneously, or what was that process like for you?
I think it was a daily surrender, a reminding myself of saturating my thoughts with Scripture, with practicing adoration, reciting His promises in the Bible back to Him, and basically saying, you're on the line. Mm-hmm. I believe that your word is true. Now show me that it's true. And it took a lot of, just being vulnerable with people that I trust, asking other people to pray and listen on my behalf when I felt too weak to hear Him. And so I had a lot of people surrounding me that were speaking into my life and And so it took a lot of sort of laying down my own life and trusting that God had me, even though in my feelings were saying something different. My heart was trying to catch up, or my feelings were trying to catch up to my heart, I should say. And I think it takes just baby steps of one day at a time, one moment at a time, surrendering, trusting, relinquishing, filling your mind with who God says He is, and taking it one day at a time.
I wonder if somebody's listening today too, Shelley, who's maybe afraid of this, because it does happen when we slow down, when we cease striving and know that He is God, with a verse referencing the verse you opened with. Maybe someone's afraid of what's going to come to the surface. You know what I'm saying? That I got to keep going because I'm so afraid of what's going to come to the surface. And yet, even that mindset will catch up with us. It's not a sustainable way to live, is it?
Right, absolutely. And I think that's common to all of us. I think, we can become overwhelmed when we try to control outcomes, when we're afraid of possible outcomes. I think it's the same thing in the political climate right now. We want certainty, and God wants us to trust Him. Hmm. I think more than our certainty, God wants us to trust Him and believe that He's in control of our lives. And so for that person that's out there that might really be struggling with just a fear of intimacy and what that really means, I would just say press in and trust the Lord. He's a gentleman. He doesn't push you beyond what you're capable of handling in the moment, that he's with you. And He is more than capable to handle your fear, to handle your uncertainty. He doesn't judge you for it. He loves you through it because he knows your weaknesses. He knows we're prone to doubt. We're prone to compare before we're able to trust. And so I would just say surrender, surrender. Mm-hmm. Just take a baby step.
Beautiful, Shelley. When we come back, we're going to talk about two things, a legacy of a life well lived that involves rest and the idea of wasting time. Shelley says sometimes wasting time, quote unquote, may be the most productive thing that you can do. We'll unpack that on the other side. Talking to Shelley Miller, author of the book Rhythms of Rest, Finding the Spirit of Sabbath in a Busy World. Who does not need this book? Come on now. Email me if you want in on the drawing. We've got three copies. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Always remember that mailing address. Put rest somewhere in the email as well. And we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well.
I want you to hear that song because, as you know, just look around, watch the news, read the paper. It is a tumultuous time, to say the least. I mean, truly, we are polarized as a nation. There's lots of things that seem legitimate to confirm our fears and our worries and our insecurities. But the Lord Jesus calls us to rest in Him, to be at peace in Him. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." What would happen if we got to such a place where we wove in a rhythm of rest in our lives, where we got used to hearing what God had to say, that we didn't let our worries go along and our fears go along, where we got with God? He put us right where we were thinking wrong. He put our hearts at rest and at peace. Because you know what? Others are watching you. They're watching how you struggle, how you live out your life. And if you get with God and you practice rest, you start to get that sparkle in your eye and the rhythm in your life and a renewed health, then you've got something to say, to share with God. And this is why we're talking about this today. Shelley Miller's written a beautiful book called Rhythms of Rest, Finding the Spirit of Sabbath in a Busy World. And Shelley, you talk about that when someone's overtired and even dreading the alarm clock and even just missing out on the stuff that God has for them, that He wants to greet them in the morning, but they're just so exhausted they can't even fathom it. So it might be that the most productive thing that they do is quote unquote waste time. Say a word more about that if you would. Unpack that.
It's so true. It's so true. I know it's counterintuitive, but you know, I think a lot of the things that Christ tells us to do are counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's often times when he did miracles and he said, don't tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
And he tells us to be still when we have a lot going on. And so I think in the Psalms, there's a word, Sela, S-E-L-A-H, and it basically means to pause and or to stop and think about it. And so it shows up a lot in the Psalms. And now whenever I see that word Sela, when I'm reading the Psalms, I stop and go back up and read what I've just read. Because often in the Psalms, there's a definitive topic that's addressed, and then there's a heart change afterwards. And so when we stop, when we take time to pause, whether it's a few moments or a few minutes or half an hour or a full day, there's something specific, that some way that God is going to meet us when we're intentional about making eye contact with him. And often after we stop and pause, there is sort of a heart change. We find a sense of clarity or peace, of purpose in it. And so I just encourage people to, you know, those times when you're, for instance, well, here, we take the tube a lot. We take public transportation. So you're not behind a wheel, but you're sitting there in a train. And what it was the first thing everybody does, they pull their phone out
mm-hmm.
and start scrolling and looking at, you know, gaining more information, reading. And I've just started to, instead of pulling my phone out, practice the pause and be attentive to my surroundings. There's been many times when I felt led to pray for strangers, or I've been led to talk to somebody and or just offer a smile, or listen to what my heart is saying in the moment and ask God for direction. And those simple pauses, whether I call them armchair altars, that time, those times when we can't sort of, you know, we might be a passenger in a car on a road trip, or we might be sitting in a doctor's office with a child, those times when you have sort of that white space where you can't really do much else, are times when God actually meets us in a really special way. So think about sort of those pauses, those times to reorient our heart and stop and think about what God could be saying in the moment.
Boy, that's so good. Here's another excerpt from your book. You write, I want the legacy of a well life. Lived life. I'm going to say that again. I want the legacy of a well-lived life, don't you? I'm learning to say what I want with greater clarity and definition, even when it feels uncomfortable and presumptuous, because I don't want a mediocre life as a result of vague prayers and ill-defined faith. And I love that, because I think part of a well-lived life is, as you say, clarity from God, because I've spent time with God, so I know what he's called me to on earth, and that more rests on his shoulders than on mine. Talk about the kind of clarity that you've gained, Shelley, for your own purpose as you've learned to rest in him.
Yeah, I will say that I think God wants us to be specific with him.
Yes.
You know, we're specific in our prayers, and I think that he wants to be specific with us in rest as well. And, you know, Jesus asks often, what do you want me to do for you?
Mm.
What do you want me to do for you? And I think often when I pause, I imagine that God's asking me that question. Now, that sounds like a really simple question, but a lot of us, I know I do, struggle with what do I really want from God in that moment? And could I actually miss a golden opportunity for God to really show up in my life in a big way if I'm too busy? And I think it's just, yeah, it's just important to be thinking in that way. To be, you know, Jesus asked the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? Well, it was obvious to everybody around him, right? He wants to see. So why did God ask him, what do you want me to do for you? It's because he wants us to be specific with him. Mm-hmm. In the same way, you know, when we have children, we say, what do you want? What do you want to eat? I don't know. You know, it can be frustrating. And I think that God wants us to be specific in the way we rest, so that we can gain greater clarity ultimately for ultimate purpose in life and calling. More we abide with Him, the more we rest in Him, the more we see ourselves in the way that He sees us reflected back, the more we have a confidence to walk forward into the person that God truly created us to be with purpose and calling, and to breathe life into the world, bring our art into the world in the unique way that God shaped us to do that. When we're busy, that all becomes really foggy for us. We lose sight of who we are, and when we're drained, we forget what our purpose is. When we're tired and chronically tired, you know, always fueled on empty, we come at purpose sort of 20%. So we miss out on the fullness of the life that God created for us. So it's all really, it's really tied into that, the Sabbath as being a real gift. We see it as another thing to do, another spiritual hoop to jump through, and God is saying, no, it's a great gift of love from my heart for you.
And you will love
it. Want you.
Mm-hmm. And you'll love it once you start to practice it.
I said to somebody the other day, the more I do it, the more I want to do it. That's all I want to do.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I got time for one last question before we pray here, but I love this. The suggestion you make is this: listen to your life and respond to what you're hearing. Say another word about that, if you would.
Well, I think that our life flows from a place when we find peace and flowing from a place of being able to listen to our life, listen to our heart, what our heart is saying, ultimately listen to what God is saying to us. And so I think just in busyness, that voice, that still small voice, gets crowded out by comparison, by the shoulds of life, by doubt, by the fear of scarcity, all those fears of uncertainty. And I think if we take time to really listen to God, to listen to what our life is saying, we can approach our days with a sense of peace, knowing that maybe all the circumstances in our life aren't hunky-dory, maybe everything's not perfect. But we can still approach our days, our time that God gives us, with a sense of confidence, knowing that He is walking with us.
Shelley, this has been a delightful, delightful conversation from miles away. Just such an honor to have you with us. As we wrap up,
thank you so much.
Yeah, thinking of that person listening today who has just been feeling that wired, tired, exhausted feeling, wondering, how will I ever recover? Will you pray for that person today?
Absolutely. Lord, I just pray for the person today that is sitting here listening and feeling, asking how. I know I need to rest. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to find margin. I don't know how to find white space. I'm working 2 and 3 jobs. I have little kids who interrupt me. I can't rest. And I just believe the Lord when He says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, Lord, even when those lines are narrow. Hmm. So, Lord, we just ask that You would help in these narrow seasons of life where time is limited and the cares of life are overwhelming, that You would help that person sitting in their living room or in the car listening right now to dream of what rest would look like, and to take a baby step right now today with intention towards making rest a rhythm of life, not just to sleep or check out of life in a dark room with a book, but to actually embrace intimacy with Christ for a greater knowledge of purpose and meaning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.